You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you for this week's show, but, you know, sometimes we go off on a tangent.
That's right.
We hold creative licensing to do so.
That's right.
Copyright 2016.
It was a long copyright process.
Yep.
We finally got the paperwork in. If you guys go off on a tangent, I think it's $25 per tangent. Or is it measured by the minute of tangent?
I don't know. That's all with the lawyers.
We'll have to check with the Crispy Noodle lawyers.
Yes,
we have an entire team.
By the way, I want to give props to our research team that came up with the three fictional characters for Bill Belichick.
By research team, do you mean you?
And us. Yeah. No, actually, that was all you. That one was all you.
Well, I mentioned it on the podcast, right. I think.
Yeah.
And then you just found the pictures.
Right. So, go
Yay!
Us.
Yay, us.
But, man, after that crazy game last week.
That was awesome. Not the game. The post was awesome.
The post was awesome, and the game was crazy.
The game was crazy. It was insane.
We'll get into that for the sports, because there is definitely black magic afoot in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. But we'll get to that in a minute. Before we do all the news topics, we'd like to go over what we've been up to in the past week. So, Mike, how's your week been? Anything new?
No, nothing new. But speaking of black magic, it doesn't really apply. But I started watching a show under your suggestion, Penny Dreadful.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great show. Yep. And I had always seen this. This is the classic story with me, right? I see it on Netflix. It's in my recommendations, or it's even in my queue sometimes, and I will just never acknowledge it. So Penny Dreadful, Netflix had been suggesting it to me. And I'm like, no, Netflix, leave me alone. No, Netflix, leave me alone. You know, it's like, oh, but you'll really like it. And Rich texts me the one day. He's like, this is my new addiction. I'm like, okay, maybe I should give it a shot. And I watched the first episode, and oh, man, I'm ready to dive into this series and binge watch it.
Yeah,
it's so good. I haven't had a chance to, but it's I have so many questions.
Yes,
it's such a great series, and you're already
you're already
in the thick of it.
Oh yeah, I love that series. I love Evergreen and Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he was a James Bond guy. You pointed that out to me.
Oh yeah, he did two.
He
movies.
Was a James Bond guy. He was James Bond.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Not just a James Bond.
A James Bond guy.
He was actually the James Bond.
The James Bond. But yeah, I love it. I love that Victorian horror type genre that it's got going on, that like really grim and bleak Victorian setting, and the very dark horror that it has to it, because it's like vampires and Frankenstein and all this stuff, but it's not like...
It's not the sparkle crap.
Not the sparkle crap, and it's also not the like jump scare type heavy CG. It's a very visceral animal like depiction of these horror elements, you know, much more grounded in reality, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely worth your time.
And I mean, this is based on the first episode. I might be totally off base here, but that's what I got from the first episode.
You're right. Go and enjoy it if you haven't seen it, and make sure to watch it in a dark room. Enjoy,
make sure
you immerse yourself in that one.
Yeah,
too good not to.
Exactly. So that's really what I've done. Started watching that. What have you been up to though, Rich?
Well, actually, I took your thing. No. This is the actual last week of the Philly season. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, going to go down to the ballpark a couple times this week.
Yeah,
you gotta catch
the Phils.
Yeah, this is it. I always, you know, it's funny. We make fun of the Phillies when they suck, and you know.
They're the only Philadelphia team I've ever seen play.
But it's fun to go see a game, and it's fun to go to Citizens Bank Ballpark, and I'm sad that this is going to be it. This is the last series coming up. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a good time to go down there. Yeah. And I like going to baseball games. You know, everybody knows that listens to the podcast. I'm not really a big sports fan other than football. Occasionally, I'll delve into some baseball. But I really like going to the baseball games because it's just fun being there. It's a very relaxed sporting event. You know, like football, I imagine, would be very tense, very... I wouldn't be able to watch football because I like to pace around and I like to stand while I watch the games and yell and shout. And it's very like hectic for me.
Well, you would join 20,000 other your Philly brethren. 40,000. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the
length is. Closer to 70,
I
thought. But it might be. Numbers being neither here nor there. The point is that the baseball games, sit down, you have a beer. You know,
yeah, it's much more relaxed.
Yeah, you have a lemonade, have a beer, have a soft pretzel, have some peanuts, and it's just, you're just enjoying what?
As George Carlin would say, you know, when you go to a baseball game, it's a very picnic-like atmosphere.
It is.
But when you go to a football game, you're capable of ripping the heads of seven of your fellow strangers next to you.
Yes, it's true. It's true. So I enjoy an occasional outing to the ballpark.
Yeah, but unfortunately, if you want to do it, this is it. The season wraps up this week, which it sucks for us because that means no more Phillies games. But
I mean,
does
it suck, though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do like going down to the ballpark.
Yeah.
But that does mean that the playoffs will start in October, and then we'll have some baseball talk and World Series.
No Red October, though.
No, not for the Phillies, no. The heavy favorite is actually right now the Cubs. But I'm sure they're going to find a way to screw it up.
I'm sure.
I mean, it's been 100 years now.
They're not allowed.
Yeah.
There's like certain teams in sports you're not allowed to win.
Right.
The Cubs aren't allowed to win. The Eagles aren't allowed to win. You know, it's certain teams just, no.
I mean, I don't know. I think if the Cubs win the World Series, I think that throws off the space-time continuum because they were supposed to do it last year for 2015 to honor Back to the Future and they didn't win it. So if you do it 1 year late, I think that throws off the complete timeline.
And you can't have that.
The Libyans!
The
Libyans are going to come back and bomb us over the Cubs. There you go.
Okay.
The only logic. Sure. That's the only sentence that you'll ever hear ever in that order.
The Cubs
here
don't
on the
win.
Noodle Podcast.
If the Cubs don't win, the Libyans will come and bomb us.
The Libyans!
I'm sure Libya really appreciated that.
There you go.
They're like, we didn't do anything. leave us out of this.
You know what? We are going to bomb you if the Cubs win the World Series now.
Just because you guys said that.
Dear God. Now we're going to be on the watch
what
list.
What have you wrought,
yeah,
Rich? What have you wrought?
We're on the NSA watch list probably, too.
Oh, you just got on there?
Yeah. Well, no, you've been on there for the grenades.
I've been on there.
Yeah, all the searches you've done.
Yeah. Join the
squirrel
party.
Squirrel cook-off, grenades.
Goes much deeper than that.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, you know what? With all this sports talk, I think it's only appropriate that we get to our first segment. Folks, it's time for the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yeah, sports coming at you in your face in the first segment. But unfortunately, I do want to get this news bulletin off, and it's definitely a sad one for golf fans like me. I know, Mike, it's golf news, but this is something that I think we do have to mention.
No, yeah, this is an important one. Go ahead, Rich. I know this hits close to home for you.
Yeah, and yeah, we lost the king of golf, to put it bluntly. Arnold Palmer passed away this past week. Pretty much, if you don't know anything about golf, Arnold Palmer is one of the key figures in making golf a mainstream sport, because he got popular right at the late 50s, early 60s, and that was when they were first starting to televise golf.
Okay.
I mean, there were still questions like, could you even televise golf? Are people even going to watch this?
I still ask those questions, to be
honest.
Shut
up, Mike. But the point is, those questions were answered when guys like Arnold Palmer took the stage.
Yeah.
And there's also another tidbit that goes with Arnold Palmer, is that he was kind of a regular Joe compared to, you know, at the time, all these other, you know, country club people, high esteemed in social realms, golfers. You know, this was still very much at the time people thought golf. Oh, you know, only the rich
it's
people
like an
play
elitist
it
thing.
Right, exactly. You have to be, you know, royalty to play golf. Arnold Palmer was the son of a groundskeeper in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
You know, so for him to for him to go to college and rise the ranks and eventually make it to the PGA Tour and then ending up becoming one of its most famous players is definitely an underdog story.
I can see why he would popularize that at the time. You know, everybody likes a good rags to riches story. You know, an underdog, somebody who breaks social trends. And also, you know, especially at the time where you start to televise a sport, you need somebody that the people can latch on to. You need a successful figure. And I guess he provided that. You know, he was somebody that the audience could connect to. But at the same time, he was also somebody very good at the sport.
Right.
So he was a superstar that they could focus in on, much like how we focus in on Tom Brady or, you know, I don't know, other sports figures who I can't think of it. LeBron James.
There you go.
You know, he was somebody that became, I guess, a focal point at the time. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know how close I am to the
truth. Yeah, you're pretty close.
Okay.
He got his big break when he won the Masters tournament in 1958. And then he had a nice string of successes in the majors. He won six more majors after that one, from 1960 to 1965, if I remember correctly.
Did he make what's it called, the Grand Slam?
Actually, interesting fact, he did not. He never won the PGA Championship.
Oh, really?
So if you want to win a bar bet, yeah, Arnold Palmer, the king of golf, actually did not make a Grand Slam.
That's a shame.
But, you know.
But still, I mean, winning, you said six, right? I mean, that's still,
he won,
that's still
a lot. Well, seven altogether.
Oh, seven altogether.
Six after the first one.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So he won seven altogether, which is still a pretty big feat.
That is.
I mean,
that's
still, you know, majors are the Super Bowls of the golf year. So for him to win seven is
so
amazing.
He had like a mini dynasty.
He won the Masters four times. That's huge.
Yeah. in a row or
no? But 58, 60, 62, 64.
That's pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Like that's every other year he's going back and winning it.
Right.
So it's not like a one-time fluke. He was very consistent over his career.
Yes. And then on top of that, after these string of successes, then he had the great rivalry with Jack Nicklaus. And I mean, that's stuff of legends to see the two best, you know, in any sport, have the two premier players go off and just battle each other and they keep making each other better. That's something that's legendary.
Do you think Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah.
Would be as successful? I don't know, Rich. I'm trying to keep up here.
You got it.
Do you think he would be as successful or as popular if it wasn't for Arnold Palmer pushing him?
I think you could say that without Arnold Palmer, there wouldn't be a Jack Nicklaus.
And vice versa, I guess, too.
But the thing is, though, I think the bottom line is you just need quality competition.
Yeah.
Because it's really the quality.
Because you're measured by the competition.
Right. The quality of your adversaries increases your performance, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you had Palmer, Nicklaus, Gary Player, when you had all these guys that were just one-upping each other, it just made for just legends. This is how legends grow. And it all started with Palmer. He's the first one.
He's the first one to really make
for television, in the television era. Yeah. I mean, that's really, you know, you actually saw.
That's like the modern era of the sport.
I mean, you actually saw him play. You saw his strategy. You saw how he would swing on the golf course and how he would act. Another thing, too, is that's interesting, and I actually want to play this. Is since he was kind of part of the lowly common folk, if you will.
Okay.
He didn't take anything. He didn't take any of the stardom for granted. And out of all the people to see evidence of this, it was actually Bill Murray, who regaled the Golf Channel with a personal story that he will always remember with associated with Arnold Palmer. If you don't mind, I will play the clip. This is Bill Murray remembering a big story that hurt him, that hits home for Bill Murray. Here you go.
Well, I mean, I remember playing golf with him. He was grinding because he was getting ready for a senior open. And so he was very focused on playing. And then when it was ended, he signed autographs for about almost 3 full hours straight. Wow. I never saw anything like it. I mean, he was sitting down, and they kept giving him, like, short glasses of Rolling Rock, but he signed for, like, 2 hours and 45 minutes straight. I never saw anything like it.
So, you know, you might be a little bit sarcastic and be like, oh, that's all he's doing is signing autographs. But you know what?
Yeah, but for that long.
Star athletes don't do that.
Yeah.
Star athletes do not just regularly, out of the blue, right before a major tournament.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, I went to an autograph signing once of Brian Dawkins, and you had to buy tickets in advance and line up, and they were only there for 2 hours.
Right, if you weren't there in the 2 hours, you lost.
Yeah, and to hear somebody just spur of the moment just decide, oh, I'm going to sign autographs for...
Before a major.
Yeah, for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I said 3 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's... How many famous people do that? I would wager not many.
No, I would agree with you. I don't think many star athletes would do that. I mean,
any stars in general.
Right.
Movie stars, singers, you know, whatever. I don't think anybody would just spur of the moment, I decide, you know, I'm going to decide to sign autographs for 3 hours.
And Bill Murray, actually, all kidding aside, Bill Murray is actually pretty influential in the sports world. He's a big basketball fan.
He's been in a couple of movies that
yeah, that's right.
Sports
he's
in them.
Been in my Space Jam. But he is
Caddyshack too.
And Caddyshack. But he is pretty big in the sports world. So for him to say, you know, it's something that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
That is actually a testament to, you know, how Arnold Palmer never took his fans for granted.
Yeah. That's awesome. You love to see when people do that, when people are connected with their fans. And like you said, don't take them for granted because it shows that they're still grounded, that it hasn't gone to their heads.
Right. So he was really the first people's player, if you would. You know, he son of a groundskeeper.
Yeah.
And he rose his way up to being the king of golf.
And he has a drink named after him.
And he has a drink named after him, too. Yeah.
That goes to show you. Just
hey, man,
how popular
tasty
he was. Yeah.
It is tasty.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for us in the golf world, it's definitely a sad headline when that came through on the news feed.
Yeah, it's losing an icon.
Yeah, it is. But he's definitely one that we'll never forget. Arnold Palmer, the king of golf, passed away. He was 87.
Wow.
My vision's going bad. Can't read my own handwriting here. But, 87. All right. Now, I know, Mike, you had to go through some golf talk. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Sorry.
Honoring
about
a
that.
Legend always deserves a spotlight here on the podcast.
But we do have one more thing to get to before we get to football news, and that is our weekly segment, the 2-minute drill, where we hit you with a couple topics real fast, and we try and do it in 2 minutes or less. Are you ready to go for this one?
I'm ready. Let's get it started.
All right. Here you go, Mike. What do you got?
All right. Well, this week in the 2-minute drill, we're going to start off a little differently. We're going to start off in the world of basketball. NBA superstar, power forward, and center Kevin Garnett retires after 21 years in the league. He spent the majority of his career with the Minnesota Timberwolves and Boston Celtics. He was a 15-time NBA All-Star and a 4-time All-NBA First Team player. He won an NBA championship in 2008 with the Celtics. Big guy, big legacy. 21 years. That is a long time to play basketball.
Yep, another legend.
Another legend, yeah.
It'll be sad that he won't be back on the court.
Well,
but
hopefully the Timberwolves and the Celtics will be honoring him appropriately.
They should.
But that's not the only loss in the sports world. We have an injury report. The Houston Texans superstar defensive lineman J.J. Watt was recently placed on injured reserve after he re-injured his back. He will now miss at least 8 games.
I think it's going to be the season. They're saying,
yeah, it's,
they're saying
it's
that
bad.
It's the same disc that he hurt with his previous injury, which
yeah.
Back injuries you cannot mess with.
Well, just look at Tony Romo.
He can't
play around with back injuries.
Yeah, I think you're looking more like the season. Oh. I think he's out.
Texans, pack it up. That's a wrap.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be good defensively, but, you know, I don't know with this J.J. Watt injury. But speaking of injuries, still another one, another big one. The Dallas Cowboys are taking a different approach to their star player, wide receiver Dez Bryant. who reportedly has a hairline fracture in his right knee, but they're not putting him on injured reserve. They're saying, we'll see. I don't know. A hairline fracture for a wide receiver who's running and jumping and cutting?
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
Doesn't sound good. But they might need to use some black magic to get him to stay on the field. And speaking of black magic, the Patriots continue to surprise the NFL by winning with third-string quarterback Jacoby Brissett, who helped the team dismantle a defensively stacked Houston Texans 28-0.
It's magic.
It's magic. It is magic. It's black magic.
Yeah.
Is it 28-0 or 27-0?
I think it was 28-0 or 20.
Okay.
It might have been. I don't know. The point is, they got shut out.
It was
horrible.
It's bad. To shut out a team in today's NFL, it was 27-0. But to shut out a team, but also to put up 27 points with
your third string quarterback.
And no Gronk.
No Gronk, no Brady. What the hell is going on?
And the Texans are supposed to be defensively stacked. I don't know. It defies all logic.
It defies all logic because it's black magic. That's the answer. Something is afoot with Bill Belichick. All right?
Yeah. The post that we put out,
yes.
It proves it.
Yes.
It was very scientific evidence
yes.
right there.
We were...
Three pictures.
We're in the lab, and that's what our super...
We're analyzing the DNA, and,
yep.
And Rich goes, Eureka! I found it!
That's what the supercomputer gave us, and there you go.
We have, what is it, the Watson, the IBM Watson over
yeah,
here?
Right.
Playing Jeopardy and crunching Bill Belichick's DNA.
Yep. And that's what,
and,
we're,
that's what it came up with.
Bill Belichick is a combination of the devil, Emperor Palpatine, and Voldemort.
And Voldemort. He yep. who must not be named.
So there you go. That makes perfect sense to me. Because he has a third string quarterback, and they shut out an NFL team.
Oh, I know. It's like I admire the Patriots for being able to achieve
not just they
the amount
win,
of success.
They shut them out.
They shut them out. The Texans won their division last season. I know they weren't good, but to win a division in the NFL, it's still a tough task.
Yeah.
So, you know, I admire the Patriots for the success they've achieved, but I also hate them because I look at them and say, why not the Eagles? And then I remember, oh, that's right, they're the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll find ways to mess it up.
Yeah, they will. Or will they not, Rich?
Oh, yeah.
Because this is
something you want to get
this
to.
We have to touch on this. It's time, everyone, to hop on the Wentz wagon to Wentzylvania.
Yeah, Mike, lead the charge.
The Eagles crushed the top-ranked Steelers 34-3. Rich, you were previously a doubter. You didn't want to jump on the Wentz wagon to Wentzylvania. Even when I extended an offer, said jump on the Wentz wagon. What say ye?
Well, all right, so my argument was, first it was the Browns, and we all know right. where the Browns are.
Right.
They're along with their counterparts in the toilet. Then they had the Bears. They're not really that much better
Bears
either.
Were a little better, but not too much better.
So I said the test was going to be the Steelers. How are they going to react to the Steelers?
And we both said that they were going to struggle.
Yes.
We both said
they were
going
to lose.
They were going to lose.
Yeah. And for them to outright dominate this game is amazing. First off, Carson Wentz playing beautifully, still no turnovers.
Lights out.
Which is, that's perfect. That's exactly what you want from a rookie quarterback.
Three
don't
wins.
Don't make stupid mistakes and don't turn the ball over.
Three wins, no turnovers.
Yeah. That's exactly what you want from your rookie quarterback. But the bigger headline for me personally, I know Wentz is getting all the hype and everything. For me, the surprise is this defense. Where did this defense come from?
I mean, before the season, you know, everybody knew that the defense was supposed to be improved, but 3 points holding the Steelers to 3 points.
Who has Antonio Brown?
And mind you, the Steelers up to this point, I think Ben Roethlisberger was averaging 3 touchdowns a game.
Yeah.
And then for them to come in and not score a single touchdown, and mind you, here's another stat, the Eagles first in the league in points allowed. They've only allowed 27 points, and 7 of those points were on special teams. So the first team defense has only allowed 20 points in 3 games.
This is
best in the NFL by a wide, wide margin.
I mean, this defense is looking like something from the Jim Johnson days.
Oh, I was watching, and I said, my God, they look like an early 2000s defense.
Yeah.
You got Malcolm Jenkins playing like Brian Dawkins, running up and stopping the run. You got this defensive line getting pressure every single down. You have them basically on will stopping the offense. this is the thing that impressed me. Jim Johnson always had a bend but don't break defense. They held the Steelers to zero red zone scores. Okay,
yeah.
out of two attempts. But also, Antonio Brown had 12 receptions for 140 yards. It was the quietest 12
yeah.
reception for 140 yards that I have ever seen. He was a non-factor.
If the game wasn't 34-3, you'd be hearing much more of Antonio Brown from this game.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because the line was so big, the deficit was so big, yeah, that just went unnoticed. Because most of Antonio Brown's
yardage. It was junk yards,
garbage time.
Yeah, between the 20s, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
You're catching, they'll let them do whatever they want between the 20s. But man, when you get in that red zone.
It's on.
Yeah, when you go, oh man, the Eagles could really use a turnover or a sack here. It's like, oh, did you want us to sack the quarterback? Sure, we'll do that. Oh, did you want a turnover? Yeah, we can do that for you. It was almost on command.
The only thing I can say is thank God that we got Jim Schwartz. I think he's doing the best job out of any assistant coach in the league right now.
Yeah.
And in honor of that, I'm bringing this clip back.
And may the Schwartz be with you. What a world.
Yeah.
What a world.
I don't. If we're holding teams to one possession a game, I'm playing this clip every freaking week.
All right. Do it.
Because this defensive unit, I think, is the true star of the show.
May the Schwartz be with you. What a world.
So to put this in perspective, Seattle has a pretty good defense, right?
Oh, yeah.
We've allowed 10 fewer points than Seattle. The Broncos have a really good defense, right?
Yep.
We've allowed 30 fewer points than the Broncos. They're the best in the league. They're the best in the league
as of right
now. By a wide margin.
As of right now. I mean, it is still 3 games into the season, but still, I'm liking the way this defense looks.
I'm liking the way it looks because when they go out there, they're in control. Not once during the game was I worried. Not once during the game did I say, that was a classic Eagles move. They were in control. They moved the ball. They stopped the ball. It was like watching a machine, a well-oiled machine. So the big question, are the doubters silenced? Is this the final nail in the coffin about this team, about the defense, about Wentz? Because there's not much. You can't sit back and say, "Oh, well, it's just the Steelers. They haven't beat the Patriots
right,
yet."
Yeah.
You know, after a certain point, there's no more excuses you can make for this team. This is the Steelers.
Well,
they were favored to win the Super Bowl.
The game against the Steelers is the one that sends the shockwaves.
Yeah.
This one was a statement game. Now, I will give respect. Now, oh yeah, of course, I'm on board. I believe Jim Schwartz. I believe Wentz. As long as they keep playing this kind of ball, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, I don't think it's going to last. Especially the second half of this, the schedule is going to be brutal for the Eagles. If they do happen to have success, I think it's going to be because the NFC East is just a really weak division. We said previously that we were thinking the Eagles were going to finish 6-10 this year. I think now it's more like 8-8, 9-7.
I mean,
and if they do win the division, I think it's going to be at 9-7.
I got to tell you, it might even be more wins than that.
Oh, you think you're really going to go double digits?
Okay, so here's the deal, right? I think they've been tossing around a stat recently this week that I think 70-75% of teams that start 3-0 make the playoffs, and I think what was it 538 that stat site?
Yeah,
has the Eagles projected to win 10.3 games this season based on the start. But here's another fun stat. I think it's 11 teams in the current playoff structure have started 3-0 and winning by a margin of 14 points or more in each game. 11 teams have done that. 10 have made the playoffs. 4 have won the Super Bowl that have started with a similar record to the Eagles. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I'm saying that if you follow these trends, if you look historically at teams that have accomplished similar feats, they usually are very successful because one time you do it, okay, you get the Browns. Two times you do it, maybe the Bears had a bad day. But three times, and against the Steelers, gets hard to make excuses for that. So I'm leaning towards a double-digit win season here. I'm leaning towards 10 wins.
Oh, really? You're going double-digit?
Well, do we have to reevaluate the schedule? Do we want to go over the rest of the games and try and figure out how many losses they have there? I have the schedule pulled up. Do you want to go over the games?
Sure.
So at Lions...
He has it pulled up.
At Lions... I'm prepared, man. Yeah. I'm excited. I told you... 2 weeks ago, I told you I was conducting the Wentz wagon to Pennsylvania.
Okay, all right, okay? Mr. Double Digit.
So I'm checking everyone's tickets. If you weren't there, you're not allowed on the Wentz wagon. I'm kidding. Everybody's allowed on. But let's go over the rest of the schedule. We have a bye week this week, but then we have at Lions, mm-hmm. win.
That should be a win.
At Redskins. Second road game, division game. But the Redskins look pitiful.
I know, but I hate the division. Divisions you usually split.
Okay, so I'll give this one to the Redskins. So that's 1-1. We're now, what, 4-1?
Yeah.
Vikings coming to town.
I think that's a loss.
That's a loss. Two losses. At Cowboys. Tony Romo, I think, is still out at that point. Dez Bryant, we don't know what's going on with his knee. I kind of like us against the Cowboys.
Okay. That'd be nice.
Okay, at Giants.
Eh, I don't know.
They just beat the Steelers. What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. I mean, it's a the problem is the division ones you usually split.
Okay, so do you want to automatically, you want to give them one each for the Cowboys and the Giants?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what, four losses? Okay. So we have Falcons. That's a win.
That should be a win.
Right. At
that
Seahawks.
That should be a shootout.
That should be a shootout. The Falcons are scoring a lot. At Seahawks, that's a loss.
Yeah, this is the part of the schedule I don't like. Seahawks, Green Bay, Cincinnati, isn't that right?
Seattle, Green Bay, Cincinnati.
I think that's three losses.
You think that's three losses right there?
I think that's three straight losses.
And you're splitting the division and giving them and saying the Vikings are a loss.
Right. Yeah, that's seven losses. I think it's 9-7.
See, I don't know. The Steelers are better than the Bengals. How do we lose against the Bengals if we beat the Steelers?
Because there's still the rest of the season to go.
But here's the thing. If you look at it based on what we've seen so far, Wentz is not making any mistakes. Now, he's going to make mistakes in the future, but the way he's playing, it doesn't seem like even when Foles wasn't making mistakes, he still held the ball too long. And you could, you know, look at these little things like, oh, those passes came out wobbly. He got away from a few passes that may or may not have been interceptions. Wentz doesn't have those issues. When you look at Wentz play, at least for me, there's never a moment of doubt. Like, oh, he looks rattled there. Or, oh, he was uncertain on that throw. Every throw has been on the money, cool, calm, and collected. He looks like a proven veteran out there.
Now, also keep in mind, though, so far everything has been going right for him.
Okay.
I'm waiting for... the first game where
you're waiting for
the
first
wrong.
Bad game, and then and then how does he bounce back?
Right,
it doesn't seem like he's the guy that would get rattled. He's had a few bad snaps that he just picks up off the ground and almost completes the pass.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We haven't seen it yet.
Well, and I think I'm still up here at the front of the Wentz wagon.
I'm like in the back. I'm like just like chilling in the back. Yeah,
you just grabbed onto the railing,
right?
And you're keeping a foot dangling,
right?
Because you're like
in case,
you're like if I have to bail. I want it to look like I wasn't here to begin with.
Yeah.
You can just slip out of the back, right, without anybody noticing.
I still don't think they're going to get double-digit wins. I think they're around 8-8, 9-7.
I mean, I think, what's that site, 583.com?
Yeah.
The stat site? Yeah. I think they have them projected to win 10 wins.
Okay. That's fine for them.
I'm just saying, as a man of science.
Science!
I don't think they split the division. I think they win four or five division games.
So wait, if they win double digits, that's the division.
That's division easily.
Yeah. So you think they're going to win the division? Do you think they're going to go deep in the playoffs?
I don't think they'll go deep in the playoffs.
That's where the train ends.
I think that's where the train ends. Yeah. Well, it is Philadelphia. Except it's kind of spotty at times. So it ends in the postseason. I was about to say preseason.
Okay.
But I think they make the playoffs, and I think we're gonna have a few surprises. If we beat the Steelers, I have to look at the schedule. And I say there's no reason why we can't beat the Bengals. There's no reason why we can't beat the Vikings without Adrian Peterson. You know, these games are win. They're going to be tough, but they're winnable. We just blew up the Steelers. We didn't win narrowly. We blew them out of the water. So I think we're capable of winning close games against some of these other opponents. Not the Seahawks. I think they're out of reach.
Okay, well, we shall see as the rest of the season develops. But actually, right now, the Eagles get a break. They have a bye week this week, so no game for them. So they can take it easy. But they go back to work against the Lions next week, and I'm sure we'll talk about that on next week's podcast. But for right now, we have four different games that we are going to predict in our Fantastic Four picks. So let's launch into our Fantastic Four picks for week number four. Yeah, week number four. 4-4, what do you got?
All right, well, I realize that I have not even looked at these games yet, so I'm just going to wing it. First up, we have the Oakland Raiders traveling to Baltimore to face off.
That fucking sucked.
To face off against the Ravens. That fucking sucked. Sunday, October 2nd at 1 p.m. Rich, how do you feel about the Raiders and the Ravens?
The Ravens are actually
undefeated.
Yeah, they're 3-0. They're actually pretty good right now.
Pretty good.
Flacco, out of all the people, he's actually clicking with his tight end a lot, which is causing some rifts in the fantasy community. Slight little nod, if you're playing fantasy, you might want to research that.
Okay.
In short, I'm going to go with Baltimore at home. Oakland is definitely an offensive powerhouse, but defense, they don't hold it together.
Yeah, you know, I don't quite trust the Raiders yet. I really like the way that they've been improving the past couple of years. But the Ravens are undefeated. Everything seems to be going their way. It's at home. You know, usually when a team's at home, they feel a little more comfortable. So I have to agree. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one. They're going to continue their undefeated streak. Next up, we have the Los Angeles Rams. That sounds weird, doesn't it? The LA Rams are traveling to Arizona to face off against the Cardinals Sunday, October 2nd, 4:30. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
I'm hoping the Cardinals get their offensive issues sorted out. There's no reason why this offensive unit shouldn't be flying from the ground. I mean, you still have...
They were supposed to be very good. I don't know what's going on.
You still have Fitzgerald. You still have David Johnson. John Brown is a great secondary complement. This offense needs to get off the ground, and I think it will at home versus the Rams. I know the Rams have a decent defense, but if the Cardinals don't fix their offensive problems by this week, they could be in for a long season. This needs to happen for them, or they might be spiraling out of control. I'm going with need over the stats. I'm going with Arizona.
Yeah, you know what? The Rams, even though they're in first place in the NFC West, which is a shocker, things are not looking up for them. Case Keenum really isn't doing much. But the bigger surprise is Todd Gurley is struggling. Only 183 yards on the season. So the question is, can Carson Palmer and the Cardinals, are they able to overcome these inconsistencies to win against the LA Rams? I think if there's a team to bring it out of the Cardinals, it's probably a division rival.
Yeah.
At home.
If they can't do it at home versus the Rams, the Cardinals are in for a long season.
This is definitely one that they need to win, and I think they could probably beat up on the Rams here, considering the Rams' defense right now, while good, is only middling in terms of stats, but it really worries me that their offense isn't producing at all. So I think I have to begrudgingly go with the Cardinals here, even though they're very shockingly bad this season.
So far.
Well, we'll see. Next up, we have the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Pittsburgh to face off against the Steelers. This is a Sunday primetime game. How do you feel about this one? Will the Steelers be able to bounce back?
Yes, and the simple answer is Le'Veon Bell. He comes back this week. Expect him and D'Angelo Williams to wreak havoc. I think Andy Reid is going to need a couple of cheesesteaks after this one. Or barbecue.
He's going to need some cheesesteaks?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a tough one because, you know, I wonder if the Steelers can bounce back. I don't know. I like Big Red. For some reason, I like Kansas City. Their defense is pretty stout so far, only allowing 16 points per game. And the Steelers, I don't know. They suffered a couple injuries against the Eagles. I think they lost, a handful of starters on defense. We don't know if they'll be able to bounce back as quickly. I think the Kansas City Chiefs pull out one as the Steelers are still reeling from a shocking loss against the Eagles.
If they do that, something has went wrong with Le'Veon Bell.
Well,
that's the only... No.
Well, he hasn't played yet, though.
Give the ball to Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, fine.
But he hasn't played yet. We don't know what he's capable of.
If it wasn't for the pot, Le'Veon Bell would be the number one fantasy player ever.
Okay. All right. Maybe he'll still
That's
be
literally the only thing.
Maybe he'll still
him
be
back.
A little dazed and confused though.
Oh, all right. All right, all right, all right.
Anyway, we got the New York Giants traveling to blustery Minnesota. Actually, they're playing a dome now, so it's not blustery Minnesota. I think they've always played in a dome. What am I saying? I don't know. Anyway, the Giants is the pop. Oh, man, I'm telling you. The New York Giants are traveling to Minnesota to face off against the Vikings. It's a Monday night game. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
I like Minnesota. The Minnesota defense scares me. They are locking down teams that they face off against. And Sam Bradford is actually doing pretty good as the quarterback for the Vikings. The only if is really the running game after the Peterson injury. But I think they should be able to meld and get through it. The Giants, I still just don't trust against an elite defense. Eli Manning, I think, is going to have that Manning face where he just looks dopey.
Everybody knows that face.
Yeah, and I think the Vikings win at home.
Yeah, Odell Beckham has not been as big a factor this year as he has in past seasons. And, you know, I don't trust the Giants. I don't think they're as strong as people thought they were going to be. I really like what the Vikings are doing. Sam Bradford, he's not making a lot of mistakes. As long as the Vikings rely on that defense, I can't see why the Vikings can't pull off a win against the Giants at home as well. So I'm going with the Vikings as well. Sam Bradford, 107.8 quarterback rating.
Interesting.
Surprisingly good this year.
All right, and there you go. That'll end it. Those are our Fantastic Four picks for week number 4 of the NFL season. All right, there you go. Our predictions.
Sam Bradford, you got to give him props. He's doing very well.
They finally given him a support system.
Yeah, in two games, though, 107.8 quarterback rating.
Yeah.
He's completing 68% of his passes.
Yeah. There you go. He needed an actual offense system that would support his playing.
Needed to get out of Philly.
And he needed to get out of Philly. Yeah, that's
the case with a lot of athletes. They just need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Please don't say that about Carson Wentz. But there you go, folks. That's our sports sampler for this week's episode. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we have the entertainment entree. And then I've got the non-fortune cookie odd news, and there is a lot to get to in the odd news. You're going to want to stick around for that. Trust me. Don't go anywhere. More of the Chris Mural Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have like an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. We're with the MBT. Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount of beer.
Excuse me, right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh my God. I gotta hit the Crispy Noodle Podcast. They said podcast.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We went over a lot of interesting news in the sports sampler, but we are going to make the slight transition into entertainment with our next segment. Is that right, Mike?
That's right.
Oh, okay. You're going to go ahead. Yeah, what
no,
are you about to say?
I was just going to say, we're... We had I have nothing.
It's the music. The music mesmerizes
yeah.
you.
I know. I was like dancing, and then you like threw it to me, and I was like, oh yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, Mike likes to dance.
Yeah, you know why I like to dance? Because it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Right? And that fits perfectly with this next segment we have coming up, the main portion of the show. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
You can't beat the Redskins at home. This is a game we should have won. We could have won. We were supposed to win. Mind-boggling. Who the f*** is calling these plays? We rushed for 120 yards in basically the first half. How many running plays are called in the second half? Three. Nah, put the ball in Eli's hands. That's great. We can't mix in a run play in the last 25 f***ing minutes. And there's Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli. Keep making those commercials with your fucking brother. Nice. Very good. Mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Odell, what's with you, Odell? You're screaming. You're hitting. Kicking nets that hit you back in the fucking chin. You're having a fight with a fucking net. Stop it. You're crying. Look at your hair. And the fucking penalties. Holy shit. Are you fucking kidding me? Let's go forward, guys. Not backwards. It's like a fucking rumba out there, for Christ's sakes. Just like the fucking Yankees. The feast of famines. I hit the showers, jerk off, you little fucking girls. I gotta go watch this fucking shit fest now on film. I wish I was fucking blind.
And there's our boy, Vic DiBattista, uploaded a rant after the Giants loss to the Redskins over the weekend, and it's going viral in New York.
Man, I tell you, you could hear. I love it because it's so... It's so passionate. You can hear the ragged breathing. You can hear him like losing grasp of reality. You know, you can feel like his reality tearing apart before him as he's spiraling out of control in this rage, this all-consuming rage. I love it because that's how I feel when the Eagles lose.
But we're
not going to be feeling that way at all this season, are we?
Oh, now we're going to go 16-0.
16-0, baby.
Oh man, wow.
No,
you're really riding that Wentz wagon.
No. We're not going to go 16-0, but I love Vic because he's just so passionate. So you know he wears his emotions on his sleeve, so much so that you can you can just tell him that clip, man.
Yeah, and he's not having a good month between the Yankees and the Yankees not making the playoffs, and now the Giants.
He better be careful though. He doesn't want to like have a stroke or something. You know.
Well, whatever doesn't kill you make you stronger.
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, tell that to the teams that are 0-3 right now.
Yeah.
It makes you stronger, guys.
Good luck. But there was our boy, Vic DiBattista, and that clip is actually going viral on New York talk radio. So props. Hey,
nice.
Man. It's always
good. Good analysis.
It's always good. Yeah.
It was a good analysis.
It's actually very good analysis.
Well, it is because he broke down like, oh, you know, how many run plays they had in the second half. You know, it's.
Yeah. I think he was better than some of the commentators.
Yeah, really. CBS has an awful crew.
Fox does, too. I don't really like Fox.
I think they all suck.
Yeah.
I don't know why how that spun off into that, but it just made me think like
to
the game on Sunday, they wouldn't say anything. And then they would chime in with like, oh, you know, Carson Wentz is just as tall as Ben Roethlisberger, so they're the same quarterback.
What?
I'm like, what? They showed that graphic like three times.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking. When they pulled up a comparison of Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Wentz,
they had the same
6'5", 6'5", 216, 250.
Right.
They went to different schools and they won different numbers of games.
Illuminati.
What does that mean? Oh, I don't know. That they're quarterbacks that are the same size, but in other ways completely different? Like what point are you trying to prove?
It means the burger that I eat at McDonald's and at Burger King are the same.
Whoa. Well, the patties are the same diameter.
Ooh.
They use sesame seed buns.
Ooh.
Yeah. Cheeseburger has cheese on it. McDonald's quarter pounders have what on them? Cheese. You see where I'm going with this?
Oh my God! What the hell's going on tonight?
That's right.
All right. Well, Ric Flair is actually telling us to wheel it in. That's how bad this argument.
Oh, okay.
This conversation.
We don't want to get as bad as CBS.
Yeah, and yeah, we're Fox.
Oh boy.
But there you go. That clip that we played before was Vic DiBattista. Go check him out.
Funny guy.
Yeah, I love hearing
funny,
his
funny
rants.
Guy.
But now it's time to get to the weekly portion of the show where the weekly portion doesn't sound right.
The weekly portion.
Yeah. The regular portion of our weekly show is probably what I meant to say.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Illuminati talk is throwing me off.
I know. Well, because your mind is a whirl now, right? with all these conspiracy theories.
You're
going Alex Jones over there on me.
Yeah, don't go that route. Please. We made it through 1 week without Alex Jones. I was hoping for another one.
Is your microphone working properly?
So let's move on to Mike's segment that he usually does here on the podcast. It's called This Week in Entertainment.
Don't walk on me. I'm not through gloating.
All right, Mike, what are you gloating about?
I am gloating about the movies this week. Cool ones coming out in theaters. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. This is based on a very popular book series right now that's been described to me as Harry Potter meets X-Men. It's like a group of children that have these weird abilities, almost like carnival sideshow freak abilities. They go to these special homes so that they can hide away from the real world and learn to control their powers. But of course, some stuff goes down that forces them to, solve the mystery of this person's grandfather who disappears, and it forces them to try and use their abilities to solve this mystery. But it looks very, very creepy, very not creepy, but well, Tim Burton-esque, because Tim Burton is directing it, but also starring Ava Green, who we were just raving about from Penny Dreadful. She's one of the lead roles in the movie.
I love her.
I do. I've only seen her that one episode, but I'm already enamored with her, you know.
Do you think it would be creepy if I wrote a letter to her?
Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
Especially since I already sent her a letter, so.
Damn it!
Can't, yeah. And she already said no. So.
No way! I don't believe it!
But anyway, that's Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Go check it out in theaters this week. But if you're a fan of Netflix, keep an eye out for this show coming out. Netflix's Luke Cage is premiering Friday. This Netflix original follows Luke Cage from the show Jessica Jones, fleshing out this minor side character in the larger Marvel universe. It has no connection to the film, so if you're just looking for a good Netflix original to get into, maybe you're finished on Orange is the New Black and House of Cards, you've wrapped up everything else, go check out a good superhero action series. But if you're looking for something a little more heavy, a little more drama-esque, go tune into HBO this Sunday to watch the premiere of Westworld. This sci-fi thriller was developed by Jonathan Nolan, Christopher Nolan's brother, and J.J. Abrams. So it's got a couple of brilliant sci-fi minds behind it. The story is about it features this world in which robotic hosts look after a futuristic amusement/theme park where wealthy people can go to live out their wildest, most illicit fantasies through an artificial consciousness. So it's blending Western genres with sci-fi genres. It looks really weird, really far out there. Has Anthony Hopkins in it. Again, it's got a lot of talent behind this one. Looks great. Go check out Westworld on HBO Sundays.
It has illicit fantasies?
Yes, it does.
And it's on HBO?
It is.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I think we know where this is going.
let's put it this way. You know, these people go to this artificial consciousness to live out their fantasies in the Wild West, and there are a lot of brothels in the Wild West, so, you know, put two
together.
Well,
it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
There you go.
Yep.
HBO is always good for some erotic fun.
I know it's something to do with sex.
But you know what isn't erotic? This video game coming out this week, XCOM 2, releases for PlayStation 1 and Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Did I say PlayStation 1?
Yeah. Wow, they're going retro.
They're going really retro. No. XCOM 2 releases on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. It's a turn-based tactical combat game where you lead a military group trying to fight off an alien invasion. It's doing very well so far on PC. It has an 88 out of 100 Metacritic score, so go check out XCOM 2 on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment. But now, actually, speaking of video games, we're actually going to get into a little bit of video game news. Not the PlayStation 1, but the future of Sony. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, so this story has been brewing for a while because Sony this month has had a lot of news, and not all of it has been very positive news.
No, most of it's been bad.
It's been kind of bad news. Yeah, I guess you could say that it's been bad news. So where to even begin? It's just a deluge of disappointments for Sony. First, they release No Man's Sky in August. And No Man's Sky was supposed to be very hyped up, very big game for Sony. But it came out and it started getting slammed by players, so much so that now the game is being investigated for false advertising. That's just one issue that Sony's had. Another issue, Sony laid off a bunch of employees at two of their studios, Sony San Diego and Sony London. A game, The Last Guardian, in development for 10 years, was delayed once again. In addition to news that PlayStation Plus prices are increasing and that Sony is not allowing mods on Fallout 4 and Skyrim. And of course, the big one to cap everything off is the reveal of the PlayStation 4 Pro with 4K HDR graphics that a lot of people have said is kind of a disappointment. So where to begin? Let's break down these things individually, I guess. Let's start with the PlayStation Plus price increase. I think it's surprising that a few people were very upset about this, and an IGN poll says that 28% of people are going to cancel their subscription. Are you going to cancel your subscription because of a simple price increase?
Probably not, but I am disappointed that this had to happen.
Yeah, and kind of bad timing, too.
Yeah.
It seems like a strange time to increase the price of this online feature, especially
Right before the holidays,
and they're not really offering anything more. They're just, we're going to up the price a little bit and just leave it at that, really, without too much incentive to keep subscribing. But overall,
I wish they would have done it like incrementally or something. You know?
I mean, over time?
Yeah, because like, here's the thing. Like, Netflix had to, a couple months ago, they had to raise the rates for everybody from, I think, $7.99 to $9.99.
Yeah.
Even if you were grandfathered in.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. They grandfathered. See, because I subscribed to Netflix before all this, from way back when. And so they let me keep the $7.99 price, like a year after.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, a year after they upped it.
Right. And I felt like I got rewarded for being
a loyal member, yeah.
Yeah.
But Sony, no, they're just
like. And it was also only $2. Like, that was like, okay.
Yeah, well, $2, right. $2 a month.
Yeah, but still, so, that was more manageable.
Yeah.
For PlayStation to just come out of nowhere and just be like, no, this is too cheap. We need to make it an additional $10 more. Like,
they gave it like a hard timeline too.
Yeah.
Like, September 22nd.
Period.
It's increasing.
Everybody.
And
then, no exception.
And that's it.
So,
you know, Sony, they're not very subtle when it comes to these things.
No.
You know, they've always had PR problems, I think. You know, going back to the PlayStation 3 era, they've always been sort of out of touch sometimes with the fans. The PlayStation 4 sort of corrected that, but I guess that's really the issue here is Sony trending back towards their old ways, where they're sort of losing touch now that they're in the lead, so to say, in the console wars.
Yeah, they were.
They were in the lead. Well, I mean, they're still in the lead, but
I don't know.
A lot of people are saying that it's getting kind of shaky here, and that's kind of the point behind this whole thing is that Sony's had a very bad month. They're really not doing anything to course correct. The price increase was just one of those things. The other aspect, again, another botched PR decision. The Last Guardian. Are you familiar with Shadow of the Colossus and Ico? Two very popular story driven games from the PlayStation 2 era. This team hasn't made anything since 2006. This game has been in development since 2006. And at one point, Sony let the trademark lapse because it was in development for so long that they let the trademark expire.
That's weird.
Yeah. And then it turns out, oh, surprise, we were developing it for PlayStation 4 all this time. And they said at E3, it's coming out in October. Then just this month they announced, nope. Sorry, we got to push it back again. Do you think that fans of this game should expect this game to be anywhere near good after being in development for 10 years and then getting delayed once more? Like, if they don't have it ready after 10 years, what makes you think an extra month and a half?
Yeah, when is it finally going to be ready?
And after, what's that month and a half going to do? What are they going to add to this game after 10 years of development? I have to admit, I was kind of looking forward to this, but now I'm seriously considering avoiding this at all costs because it does not give me much hope to hear that it's been delayed again after 10 years in development. Not to mention that I was one of those people burned on the No Man's Sky.
The
big No Man's Sky thing. I was a big fan before No Man's Sky came out. I was saying it's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. Open universe, 5 quintillion planets to explore. And then it comes out and it turns out that there's just nothing to do in this universe.
You told me you returned it, right?
I did. I traded it into Amazon.
That's not like you.
It's not like me at all. Those that know me, I usually stick with the game through thick and thin. I've beat some games that, I had to sit there and grumble through. But No Man's Sky, I just couldn't take it anymore. I just could not take it anymore. Because it was just grinding, Rich. It was the whole point was to get to the center of the universe. And after a certain point, you're just running around, just gathering the same 3 materials to keep building more fuel for your spaceship. And that's all it was. And it was just, go to the galaxy map, warp. Go to the galaxy map, warp. Go to the galaxy map, warp. Just over and I wasn't even playing the game. I was just hitting 2 buttons over and over and over again. And at a certain point, I'm sitting there and I'm warping and warping for half an hour. And I'm going, why am I doing this?
Yeah, there's no story.
Like I could be enjoying much better games than just sitting here just to get to the center of the universe. And so it was I sunk money into this game. It was a $60 game when it came out. It's not a $20 indie game.
Yeah, that was also something that threw me off. For an indie game, for it to be charged $60, I didn't like the sound of that.
And you know what? That should have been a warning sign to me. But I was so sold on the E3 gameplay, right? They showed this amazing E3 demo where you're discovering brontosauruses and creatures are moving in and out of these really lush jungles. And it looked like there was all these cool things in the environment to discover. And you get into the actual game, and the planets are gray. They're covered in rocks. The animals all look dopey, like T-Rexes with horse arms, and they're kind of like glitching out through the environment. And you're going, where was the E3 footage?
Yeah, where's that?
Where's this amazing, lush, verdant world? They're being investigated now for false advertising, for saying that the final product was so different from what was advertised and what was hyped up in pre-game footage. They're being investigated now for false advertising, which is a shame because they're a small studio.
Yeah, I hate the fact that it's going to happen to a small studio.
Yeah.
But I think there needs to be some consequences for video game studios, movie studios that, show a kick-ass 100% in-your-face awesome trailer and then the movie sucks or the video game sucks. That's completely not at all what the trailer depicted.
I mean, I think it was back in 2014, this game won best of E3. No Man's Sky did. And I remember watching it the first time it was revealed going, oh my God, this is going to be revolutionary. And
it was hyped up on Colbert's show, too.
It was everywhere. It was everywhere. And And it was just really, really disappointing in the end because everybody bought into the hype. Even the media bought into the hype and they were fueling it. And the game developer made cool $70 million on it.
Yeah, just, you know.
But
when you weren't looking.
But then here's this stat. There are over 200,000 unique players week one. And now, a little over a month later, 900.
That's embarrassing.
That's not embarrassing. That's like you should shutter your doors and stop developing games embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's really sad for this small team, but I think that says something about the overhype this game got. If it had been like a $20 game that wasn't hyped as much, didn't win best of E3, I think expectations are different. I think people put up with that a little bit. But as a $60 game, overhyped for three straight years?
Yeah, it's too much.
It's too much. So Sony didn't do anything to stop it. This was one of Sony's exclusives, you know, that they were counting on this year to bolster their system. And Sony had to come out and say that, you know, unfortunately, the company should have handled the PR better. Whenever you have the big company saying that the small developer should have handled PR better, it's never a good sign.
Right.
But Sony should have been on that. They should have tempered expectations,
especially for how much Sony was plugging it.
Oh, they were plugging it like crazy. It was at their PlayStation conferences. It was at their E3 conferences. They had Sean Murray, the lead developer, doing interviews on, like you said, Colbert and all these other talk shows. They should not have allowed that.
Yeah, you can't on the one hand brag about it so much and then be like, oh, the little studio company should have handled the PR better.
The developer has like a staff of 20 people.
Yeah.
And Sony's a multinational company, and they're like, oh, they should have handled PR better. Well, if they're developing it for your system, shouldn't you step in and say, yo, guys, chill.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Well, you can if you're hyping up the game. Oh, then we'll take care of it.
Yeah. So
if there's good news, bring it to us. If not, you're on your own.
If it's bad news, it's your fault. If it's good news, we did it.
Right. There you go.
That's perfect. Corporate policy. But the other big news, and this is sad for you, I know, because you're a fan of the crazy mods on videos online, but PlayStation 4 is not allowing mods for Fallout 4 and Skyrim.
Yeah, I'm definitely disappointed in that.
Now, I know you've been toying with the idea of going PC. Is this the nail in the coffin for you? No mod support? And here's the thing, because the developer, Bethesda, they said, we have the mods ready to go for Fallout 4. They're available on Xbox One. And they said, you know, this is the quote, Sony has informed us they will not approve user mods the way they should work, where users can do anything they want to for either Fallout 4 or Skyrim Special Edition. Bethesda's specifically calling out Sony, saying they won't. So this looks really bad for Sony.
Well, Sony's being a little bit of a prick. They that's the bottom line. And
I guess they want to control their system.
They do.
But at the same time, Xbox One allows it. Do you think PlayStation 4 is just resting on their laurels, saying, we have double the units that they do, we're just going to do what we want to?
I suppose so, but I am disappointed that they're not going to allow mods. I gotta admit, I have been looking into PC.
You have been, I know.
I have been.
Is this another tick towards that column?
Yeah,
mod support.
The needle is inching over.
Because I know you want to play that Tim Allen mod.
Oh my god!
Where they replace all the NPCs with Tim Allen.
Oh, that is the most weirdest video I've ever found on YouTube, I think.
My favorite mod is where somebody in the Skyrim game replaced the dragons. Skyrim is all about like slaying dragons. They replaced the dragons with Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, he comes out of nowhere.
And so instead of a dragon plopping down and breathing fire on you, it's Thomas the Tank Engine. Instead of it roaring, it's going toot toot. Just cracks me up. But that's the dumb stuff that you want to be able to do, and Sony won't allow it.
I know, and it's a shame, because you can have a lot of fun. Wait, I got to hear. This is just a brief audio clip. This gives you an idea of that horrible Tim Allen universe where all the sound is replaced by Tim Allen.
It's just all the NPCs making the Tim Allen grunt over and over again instead of talking.
Right. So
that's great.
It's like your own personal hell. But yeah. It's great. I love it.
Oh, so yeah.
But I don't know. I love mods.
Yeah. Like, why won't Sony allow it?
Yeah.
The technology is there.
I know. I don't understand it.
It's just one of those little irksome things that it's like, really? Like, this is coming out at the same time that the No Man's Sky thing is happening, that they're laying off people.
They're increasing the price.
Is nobody at Sony saying, guys,
we need to do something positive.
Let's give the gamers something positive to look forward to. Let's give them mods so you can say, look, we're increasing the price of PlayStation Plus, but now there's a mod section on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
You know, give and take. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the thing that makes the least amount of sense, though, has got to be this one. The PlayStation 4 Pro, the 4K HDR system, high dynamic range system. So this has been rumored for a long time, and Sony recently announced it earlier in the month. And basically the premise is that it's just a PlayStation 4 that's about twice as powerful. The biggest change is that it's going to play 4K video, right? Or rather upscaled to 4K. It's going to play like 2K upscaled to 4K. And everyone's going, what the hell does 4K mean? You know, those really expensive televisions, ultra high def. That's what it is. But what purpose does this serve? I mean, who's buying PlayStation 4 Pro? Does anybody own 4K TVs yet?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
not really mainstream yet.
No, it's not. And it's simply the visual aspect that's being upgraded. It's just shinier graphics.
Shiny.
But like, my whole thing is like, it's never been about graphics. You know? So this system isn't for me. Maybe it's for other people, but if you really like graphical fidelity, why don't you go to PC? Again, PC
you
master
tick.
Race over here.
Another tick.
But I wanted to play, I think that Colin Moriarty and Greg Miller from PS I Love You XOXO, a PlayStation podcast, say it perfectly when it comes to the PlayStation 4 Pro and trying to figure out who this console is for. They do a great job of breaking it down, and I want to play this clip just to help put in perspective, you know, what the gaming community's view towards this system currently is. So let's play the clip.
I kept trying to make devil's advocate of like, well, yeah, I bet it's going to be this and it's going to be that. But if they come out and they say games load better and run faster and do all these different things, I'd be in. I am not in on this machine. I do not have a reason to buy this
machine. Because
it
doesn't do anything for us. Like, as a person, and I've been open about this, like, A, I think we make way too much about power in the gaming industry. It's starting to annoy me now, you know? Why do we, like, games are so imperfect from a mechanical standpoint many times. The games are so imperfect from storytelling standpoints. Games are so imperfect from design standpoints. And all we talk about is making excuses by giving them more power. Give them more power so we can make it prettier. Make the frame rate better. It's like, dude, we're getting the same f***ing games we got two generations ago. Your new machine's not going to fix the f***ing fundamental problem of video games. You know, which is like, we might be at like, really like, out of a lot of ideas, and maybe like the power excuse is getting a little old. I don't understand this. Like, more power, better graphics. Like, that doesn't make a game good. Like, I'm sorry. Sure. Like, that's the end of the, that's, at the end of the day, this doesn't make games better.
So, what do you think about that? Does this make games better?
No, I would have to agree with them. As a matter of fact, that's also a point that one of my favorite YouTube celebrities, the Angry Video Game Nerd, emphasizes in some of his videos, is that better graphics don't make a better game.
Some of the best games I've played have very simple graphics.
Yeah.
You go back, like, it's a matter of gameplay if it's fun.
Right. Is the game fun? Is there a good story? Is there things that you want to, is there replay value? Is there things that you want to do with the game? Those are what really sell a video game, not really graphics.
I mean, graphics is solely a PC thing. You know, if you want graphics, you go to PC.
Yeah.
You know, because any game you can get on PlayStation 4, with the exception of exclusives, you can get on PC and have it run much smoother at a much higher resolution, right? So if you're really that concerned, go to the PC space. That's not why I buy consoles. I buy consoles to turn it on, to not have to worry about drivers, to play great, unique exclusives. And, I mean, the PlayStation 4 doesn't contribute to any of those things.
Not the Pro, no.
Yeah, the Pro, I should say, not just the PlayStation 4. But you know, it's selling at $400, and it doesn't really, it doesn't change anything. It's just the graphics. And a lot of games, and here's the other thing, support for it is optional. So if developers don't put it in the game, then you're just going to get the same 1080p version anyway.
Yeah. Is it really worth the upgrade?
You know, I can't, even if you have a 4K TV, I can't make the argument. Because you could save $100 and buy the regular PlayStation 4 and get two games to go with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think overall, that's just the last argument for how bad of a month Sony has been having. It's just been bad.
Sony's
and
had...
And that's why I say, I think this reign at the top might not last long for Sony.
Do you think that Sony is... Do you think that this is it for them? Not it for them, but do you think that it's start to get a little shaky?
I think the dominance is over.
Yeah. Do you think so? I mean, this is what happened in the previous generation, right? Is that Xbox came out to a huge lead, or well, Wii did, but then that sort of died off. But Xbox was owning everything, and then PlayStation 3, they started changing the way that they engage with the gamers. They dropped the price. They started putting out more exclusives. Because they had to come from behind. And you see Xbox doing that now. They're allowing mods. They're dropping the price. They're updating their consoles without, you know, increasing the price like Sony did. You know, because I know after the PS4 Pro came out, Xbox put out a social media post that was like, oh, the Xbox does all these things and you can still get it for $299. You know? It just seems like a really bad PR move on Sony's part to keep hammering home these things that people don't want or don't need.
Yeah, and I think it's going to hurt them. I think the dominance is going to be over soon.
Yeah. It's sad to say because I'm a big PlayStation fan. I just think they've sold too many units for it to really come crashing down on them. But I don't think it's going to come crashing down.
But
I don't like the way it's trending
being the,
though.
For them being the outright leader, I think that might come to an end.
Yeah, Xboxes, they've been clawing back slowly but surely.
And that officially wraps up a horrible month that Sony's been having, isn't that right?
Sony's bad month, but I still have faith. I still like Sony. I hope that they can pull it back. Gotta stay loyal. Just like the Wentz wagon. Gotta stay loyal.
Or you go PC. I don't know, man.
Or you go PC Master Race.
I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
Trying to convert everyone.
But there you go. That officially wraps up the entertainment entree for this week's episode. Interesting little segment there between the news with video games and then our news with our good friend Vic DiPotato. But I'll do it for the entertainment entree. But we still have one more segment left, and that is the non-fortune cookie odd news. And I'm telling you right now, you have to listen to this week's.
I know you've been teasing this.
Yeah, you need to listen to this week's non-fortune cookie odd news. Because I've got one story that's just really out there, and I think you're going to love it.
Okay.
So don't go anywhere. We still have one more portion left of this week's episode of the Chris Munal Podcast. Still to come. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Father Sean Thompson was stopped and charged with a DUI as well as a number of misdemeanor drugs and weapons offenses after a trooper observed his pickup truck doing 79 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. Trooper Christopher Bitts observed the 52-year-old's truck was weaving and speeding when Bitts approached the vehicle and asked Thompson for his registration. The priest just handed over a receipt from the bar instead.
That's how you know you're drunk.
Thompson did not tell the officer that he also had a 9mm pistol in his back pocket. He also failed to inform Bitts that he also had a small quantity of marijuana he had stashed in his shirt.
Guns and drugs and booze?
Yeah, the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. Guns, drugs, and booze.
Yeah.
In the name of the gun and of the beer and of the illegal drugs. Our Father, who art with guns, drunken be thy name.
Thy kingdom come when thou is high, on earth as it is in the clouds.
Amen. I would like to go to one of his sermons. He gets to the part with the wine and he just keeps on asking the altar boy for a refill. Like, more! Come here, boy!
We need it for God, alright?
It's for God! I said it's for God, give me another one. And the little, like, 9-year-old's like, sir, I'm gonna have to cut you off.
That's when you know you're an alcoholic.
When the altar boy cuts you off of sacramental wine.
Yeah. Padre, sit down. Sit down the next couple rounds, okay?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, but now comes the wackiest part of the show, I think. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's definitely the wackiest. It's the weirdest, the wildest segment, one of my favorites. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
All right, it's time for the odd news.
That's right, it's time for everyone's favorite segment here in the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I've never heard these stories before because Rich finds them and hides them away from my prying eyes. So all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing them for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to dive in and experience the glory and the majesty that is the odd news.
Okay. I thought you were about to give a prayer for a minute. The glory and the honor. To you,
hallelujah.
Odd news.
What do? Oh, the odd news.
To you, odd news. I don't know.
To you, odd news, we pray. I don't know what else to say. Oh, I rhymed.
All right.
But take us away.
Okay, let's do first story here. Let's do the update. This is an update.
Oh, an update.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And it has to do with our favorite Southern event, the Squirrel Cook-Off.
Covering no factors, plenty of meat. You can laugh at a fella like me for eating them. The joke's on you if you're smarter than me. But I got a strong heart and clear arteries from squirrel. Come on, everybody, sing that part. Squirrel.
Yeah, I know. Mike loves
squirrel. Oh, it's amazing.
Mike loves that squirrel song.
Yeah, this is a story from what?
Two weeks ago
when Rick was on the show.
Yeah, we had Rick Murarchy on.
Oh, and, my God, we had a blast.
We had this story about an actual squirrel cook-off that happened in Arkansas.
So why is there an update? I thought the squirrel cook-off was already
well,
over.
Well, yeah, the actual cook-off...
I guess it never really ends in the fast-paced breakneck world of squirrel cook-offs.
Well, the actual cook-off is over with. That's
okay.
Gone.
Right.
But an Oklahoma City mother whose 8-year-old son was found to have a dead squirrel in his bag at school, said that the boy took his father's joke a little too seriously.
Oh, my God.
Hobson said that her son, Brylan, apparently thought his father was dead serious when he joked that we're going to have squirrel dumplings tonight for dinner.
Oh.
Yes. So during recess, he found a dead squirrel and he put it in his school bag.
Oh, that's adorable. he's just trying to help out mom and dad. You know?
You don't have to go cook. You don't have to go hunting tonight.
Exactly, exactly.
I found one for you, Pa.
Times are tough.
Come on, Pa. I found one for you.
Pa, I got you a squirrel.
I did it.
It's only been dead for 2 days.
It only had 3 flies on it.
The tire tracks make it kind of hard to eat, but there's still plenty of meat there. They ain't no fat. Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Yeah,
he's singing the squirrel song.
That's right. No, but it is adorable. In a weird, sort of creepy redneck way. Did he play his banjo as he was bludgeoning the squirrel to death?
The school principal was the first staff member to notice that the child picked up a dead squirrel
and put it into
his school bag.
How do you punish a student for having a dead squirrel? Like, where do you even begin? You know?
Yeah.
Like, the teacher's probably dealt with, like, a chewing gum and bullying and teasing, but, you know, he gets this kid in his office and it's like, oh, you have a dead animal.
What are you doing with that?
What are you doing, Billy? What did I tell you about picking up carcasses?
Not again, Billy. Not too many carcasses.
Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking about that. Like, this has happened multiple times that Billy is... it's just collecting carcasses around. Why are there that many dead animals in the schoolyard to begin with?
The way you frame that,
I know. It's a very scary world that they live in.
When asked by the principal what possessed him to pick up the dead squirrel and put it in his backpack, the boy simply replied, quote, I wanted squirrel dumplings for dinner tonight.
Oh, my God. No, you didn't. Stop it. Stop it, Billy. What was this kid's name? I call everyone Billy.
Brylan. Close
enough. Brylan, Billy. He's Billy now.
The principal then called the mother and asked the mother if she was actually going to cook squirrel dumplings for dinner.
That's an awkward conversation.
Yeah.
Mrs. Billy's mom.
Wow, very official.
I don't know what the last name is. I don't care.
Hobson.
Hobson. Mrs. Hobson, what are you cooking for dinner tonight? Is it squirrel?
Because we need to know.
Because we need to know. Yeah, it seems creepy, right? I have your son in the office, and I wanted to just double check. What's for dinner? You know,
have you guys eaten squirrel before?
You guys, do you guys fancy some squirrel for dinner?
Have you guys visited Arkansas lately?
Yeah, just got back from a trip. Yeah,
we love squirrel now.
Well, you see, we went to the squirrel cook-off competition about a month ago.
But we found a recipe.
They were recipe.
They were exchanging recipes at the squirrel cook-off.
Dang, that's some good squirrel kebabs.
That's good squirrel ravioli.
Raviola. Yeah. Ravioli.
We're making squirrel tiramisu tonight.
Making squirrel Italian style.
Then the principal asked if the mother really wanted the squirrel to come home with the boy. She refused.
That's a shame.
The mother said in a blog post that Brylan came home in tears and apologized profusely and said that he gets a free pass on this visit to the principal's office.
Such a dumb little kid.
Poor little kid. He's dumb.
He's so stupid.
You're so stupid.
He has an IQ of 40. How cute.
That's from eating all the squirrel.
That's from eating all the squirrel, yeah. Exactly.
And now you're all going to everybody that listens to the podcast, your IQ is going to get lower because you're going to get the squirrel song.
The squirrel song.
In your head.
Yeah, exactly.
That dastardly squirrel song.
Now, the joke's on you if you're smarter than me, but I got a strong heart and clear arteries. Squirrel, 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 squirrel. Come on, everybody, sing that part. Squirrel, 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 squirrel.
There you go, and Mike just lost 2 IQ points.
It's tough. It's tough. Those are the last 2 I had.
All right, let's do this story here, because this one is just plain odd.
Okay, what do you got?
I know Trump doesn't like this, so yep, we got a brace for impact. We have a story coming from China.
I deal with China. Big league China. So don't tell me about China. I know China. China.
Whether it's China.
So if you went to China...
All right, if you went to China, you would hear this odd news story here. Doctors at a Chinese...
You gotta read it like Trump, Rich.
I gotta read it like Trump?
China. No, you don't have to. But it would be funny.
I don't know how we would read this.
It's gonna be huge.
Gonna be huge.
The story from China. Go ahead.
Doctors at a Chinese hospital said that a baby boy born with a total of 31 digits... will receive a series of surgeries free of charge.
Hold on. That's 11 extra digits.
Yep.
Right? You mean like fingers, phalanges, and toes.
Phalanges.
Are they phalanges?
Yes. I just haven't heard that word in forever.
Hold on. Digits, you mean that's fingers and toes, right?
Yep.
Okay. So where are all these extra digits coming from?
The Ningbo City 6th Hospital... says that the six-month-old boy's hands bears a total of 16 fingers.
Wow.
And his feet have a total of 15 toes.
That's crazy.
So that means one of his toes has more, one of his feet has more toes than the other.
Yeah.
That's weird. How does that happen?
Oh, one of his hands has more fingers than, why is the feet thing?
Well, no, the fingers is 16. So that's right. Eight. That's eight apiece. So you're good there. Well, good in the sense that you have three extra fingers. But
that's okay. You got eight fingers on each hand. You're good to go.
That's good in that sense.
Don't ever become a doctor. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 12, 13. Yeah, looks like you're good. You're good to go. You got an even 16 fingers. I'm like, wait, what? What you were trying to say is there's an odd number of toes between the 2 feet.
That's what I'm trying to look. The bar was already set low. I already said that there was more digits than normal. I thought we were all on the same page.
This is the way you said that. You're like, yeah. One of the feet has more toes. I'm like, Rich, the kid's got eight fingers on each hand.
Your concern
is the foot.
We're in the odd news. I kind of thought you would be used to this by now.
Oh my god!
So what I meant to say was, I'm trying to figure out how does one foot have more toes than the other. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't know. I don't think that's the biggest of his worries though at that point.
Look, we're in the odd news. We already know weird stuff is going to go down, so I kind of thought we had all gotten to that point.
You know what, though? He's giving up a great career as a carnival sideshow.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, meet the 16-fingered boy, you know, or the 15-toed. Is it a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Boy, okay.
You can win some bar bets.
I bet you I can count to 16 on my hands. Yeah. Ah, I bet you can. He just whips out these two, like,
there you go.
Eight-fingered paws. I want to know, are there pictures of this? Like, where are the fingers coming? Where are the extra fingers and toes coming out of?
If you want to search it, go.
I'm gonna
already on the NSA list, so
let's
go ahead.
Let's go, NSA. 31-digit Chinese boy.
There you go. Anyway, the boy's parents said that they were reluctant to seek medical help for the boy's condition because of the high cost.
Whoa!
But the hospital agreed to waive most of the fees for his care until he reaches the age of 16.
Yo, his feet are huge.
There you go. Mike found a picture of it.
And he's got like a big toe and then like extra ones next to it.
There you go, Dr. Costanzo over here.
The fingers. There's so many fingers. And why aren't they clipping this kid's nails? Because he's got one nail that's really gnarly.
That's his Coke nail.
That's his Coke. He's 6 months old. So you're worried. You're worried because one foot has an extra toe, and he's got a Coke nail.
Yeah,
those are your concerns. Right. Not the 16 fingers.
No, that's fine.
That's normal.
We're in the odd news.
That's normal. 16 fingers. That's nothing.
That doesn't.
He's got an extra toe on the one foot. He's unbalanced.
Yes.
He's got a Coke nail.
All right. That extra toe must cause him unbalance.
It must. These feet are huge. They like fan out. They're like ferns or something. They're huge. Let me tell you, I've seen feet before, and these are the biggest feet I've ever seen. They're huge.
China. 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 China!
Did you do that on purpose?
I thought you'd like that,
That was good.
China!
China! This segment's gone so far off the rails.
Doctors said that the boy will require numerous surgeries in the coming years to remove the extra digits and correct the problems that they will cause. But luckily, as long as they get it done before he turns 16, they will be covered by the Chinese hospital. So,
I mean, these pictures are... I highly recommend you guys go check out these pictures because they are just weird.
China. People from China, they love me. Right. China. In China, they say I don't like China. I love China. People...
So there you go. And also, maybe Trump might be interested.
He has two palms on each hand and no thumbs.
That's weird.
That is really weird.
That is pretty weird.
I feel
that's
really,
why it's on the odd news.
I feel really bad for this kid, but at the same time, that's amazing. Anyway.
So there you go.
He must give awesome high fives or high eight.
High eights.
Give me a high eight, and they're like, Billy, no, they're high fives. Stop acting weird. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I go back to play with my squirrel.
What? That's how he killed it. He strangled him with his massive hands. He pulled his hands out of his pockets, and the squirrel just died of a heart attack. Oh, okay. That's sad.
All right. Let's move on to this next story here. Another worldly story going to Scotland. So far,
Scotland, eh?
Yeah.
Is that Scottish? I don't know what you're going with. I don't know.
But this one is Scotland here.
Okay. Wow, this is like really globetrotting here.
I know. It went from Oklahoma City to China.
Oklahoma City is basically a different world.
Yeah.
Okay.
To China to Scotland.
All right.
Drivers dealing with heavy winds in Scotland over the weekend found themselves stunned with an additional morning commute obstacle, which was a giant inflatable rubber ducky rolling down the road.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun.
Unfortunately, though, this was traffic. The duck was apparently ripped loose from its tethers Saturday at the Peter Vardy car store, which is located in Glasgow. It ended up tumbling its way down the main street. There's video of this if you want to take a look.
Oh, wow. So what is a rubber ducky in Scotland?
Yeah. It rolled all the way to another nearby car dealership.
Wow.
So,
that's odd that it found its way from one car dealership to another.
This rubber ducky just needed a car.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Oh, you got the video?
I found the video, yeah. I mean, there's nothing for you guys to see or hear. It's just a giant yellow duck rolling down the street. I don't know how...
You're the one.
I don't know how it keeps going.
Lots of fun.
That rubber ducky needs a car.
It really does.
Mikey McKenna says that his friend was driving on the road when the duck made an unexpected appearance.
It just popped out of nowhere, this gigantic duck.
That's when he tweeted at the car company, quote, "Your giant inflatable duck has just hit my car in the middle of the road."
Also, why does a car dealership have a giant duck?
Yeah.
Like, what are they advertising?
Yeah, what marketing is that?
Our prices are ducking low. It was actually a text autocorrect mistake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only explanation I could think of.
Or this rubber duck needs a car so bad it's going to travel to both dealerships.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it was planned then is what you're saying.
Maybe this rubber duck just needed a car.
Maybe it was a gimmick.
Yeah.
Right? To get people like, oh, there's a giant rubber duck. Where'd that come from? And then somebody steps into frame. Oh, it came from our car dealership. You should come over here and check us out.
I don't know. Yeah, why would you put a rubber duck?
Like, who in that meeting said, you know what we need, guys?
A rubber duck.
Inflatable rubber duck.
A giant inflatable rubber
duck.
Studies
have shown that if you have a giant inflatable rubber duck, car sales go up by 1%.
Whoa.
Yeah, true. It's true. I did the study myself.
Sold. Immediately. Yeah, sold. Let's buy one immediately.
There's the rubber duck salesman who did the study.
They asked two people on the street, would you buy
two people, yeah.
Would you buy a car from a dealership that has nothing in front of its dealership building or one that has a big giant rubber ducky in front of its dealership? And both the people went, oh, okay.
That was a very conclusive academic study.
Yeah, that was my academic study.
They did a good job. The control group, everything, yeah. You know, double blind, it was perfect.
The company indicated that it would help with any damage done to cars.
It's an inflatable duck. What damage was done?
I guess because
other
really
than being
big,
emotionally scarred.
I guess because it's really big, it could
maybe. I guess
ding up.
It was. Let me tell you, I was watching the video. This thing was moving pretty at a pretty good
man,
clip.
This rubber ducky and it's got places to go, man.
It needs a car immediately. A very very busy duck.
Right, very busy duck.
Yeah,
needs to get to where it's going immediately.
You know who's not busy? Geese. They're like the laziest type of bird ever. Because if you're driving and they're crossing the street, they're like, honk, honk, honk. Who cares? You know, they're just waddling around. And you're like, yo, get out of the way, geese. They're lazy is what I'm saying.
Okay. Mike's
expert. Don't you agree?
Analysis. Sure. I don't know.
You've never come across geese crossing the road?
I have, but...
They never...
I'm just finding interesting that this is the time you choose to rant about geese.
Have you ever had to stop for a duck?
No.
Right. Have you had to stop for geese?
Yes.
They're bastards. Okay. They're bastards and they're lazy.
We should have made this what's pissing you off segment.
We should have.
I didn't know this pisses you
off. I didn't
know
it pissed me off until right now either. Because ducks, that duck, you know, he's trying to keep up with traffic.
Yeah.
He's doing like 35.
You know, he's rolling down the street.
He was keeping a pretty good pace. The geese, if that was a giant inflatable goose, it would just sit there.
Yeah.
Just sit there and look at you and hiss.
That's it.
Like, what are you doing? I'm honking. What do you think? Have you ever been attacked by a goose?
No.
I was almost attacked by a goose. I'm serious. What?
I love you just like on this rant about geese. What is up?
They're
with
terrifying
you?
And they're asshats.
Are you scarred? What did they do?
One time way back when I was an undergrad, I was walking back to the dorm and they would tell you on campus, be careful because the geese sometimes they get a little funny. You know, if they have a nest nearby, they get kind of aggressive. I was walking down the path and this is serious, Rich. This happened. I was scarred. I was a sophomore. I was young and impressionable. And I'm walking down the path, and this goose just eyes me up, and its wings fan out. And it's like, ha, ha. It hissed. It hissed at me, and it started doing this like weird like waddle, and like it was staring daggers right into my eyes. Like it had this look like, I'm going to tear out your liver. I'm going to feed it to my young. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm about to die. And so I just kind of like freaked out and stood there, and eventually it turned away. But for those 5 seconds... That goose was the most terrifying animal I'd ever come across.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I went to school at LaSalle.
You had no geese.
No. The biggest worry was the crackhead on Broad and Almy.
did he fan out his wings and hiss at you too?
In a weird way, yes. Yeah. But instead of that, he went, crack!
Did he have a nest nearby as well?
That's what you want to call it.
The dangers of suburban schools versus city schools.
There you go.
I had to deal with the geese. You had to deal with crackheads. Hey, everybody has their own challenges in life, okay?
Everybody has their own cross the bear.
Mine's shaped like a goose. Yours is shaped like a crackhead. You know, who's to judge? Right. Who's to judge whose cross is
who's
heavier?
Who's the judge?
Yeah.
I don't know what
everybody
the hell.
Has their own cross to bear.
That's
the
on.
Most appropriate use of that phrase ever.
Okay. All right. I don't know how we're going to make it back into the audience.
I don't know either. I don't know how you come back from that.
I'm
goose and crackheads.
Yeah, I'm going to try. Let's do this story here. This actually got popular last week. An employee at the Royal Canadian Mint is accused of stealing $180,000 worth of gold by sticking it up his rectum to bypass mint security.
Oh, God.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, yeah. The case
so
against...
That must have been... I don't know. Was that a lot of gold?
Yes.
I mean, like, size-wise.
Yes. Okay. Let's get to it.
Okay.
Because don't worry, Mike. I got the details.
I need the details. Whenever something goes up the butt, I'm like, yeah, I need the details. That sounded weird. I know. I realize it sounded weird. I'm going to stand by it.
The case against 35-year-old Leston Lawrence alleges that he smuggled 18 gold pucks weighing 210 grams each, which is just under a half pound.
I mean, that sounds like a lot. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot. But imagine carrying that in your butt.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's got to be painful.
You got to keep your cheeks clenched, right?
I know it's something to do with sex.
It's tough.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Everybody has their own cross to bear. Mine's a goose. Yours is a crackhead. His golden pucks up his butt.
Yeah. He would allegedly take the gold pucks and sell them to Ottawa gold buyers.
What is a gold puck anyway?
I've
heard of gold bars. What's a gold?
I guess they're smaller.
Is that like a hockey puck?
I guess that's how they exchange gold in Canada. Of course, it would be a hockey puck.
Of course it would be. A Canadian, you weird Canadians. Golden hockey pucks.
Lawrence's alleged smuggling was uncovered by a teller at the Royal Bank, who was alerted at the size and number of checks that he recently deposited. The case states that Lawrence would receive checks of about $6,800 from the Ottawa gold buyers and then deposit them at a Royal Bank branch in the same shopping plaza, which led to a probe that uncovered 4 gold pucks in his safety deposit box. According to records, 18 golden pucks and dozens of gold coins were also stolen.
And all that up the butt over the course of, I guess, a while.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Or it wasn't all one trip, was it? It was multiple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lawrence would set off the mint's metal detector more often than other employees, but he passed a second manual search with a handheld wand. I guess they never wanded his butt.
I don't know. It seems like your butt is filled with metal. What's going on up there?
No, they never wanted his butt.
They never wanted? Don't they wand, like, all over?
They're supposed to.
You gotta wand the butt.
You gotta wand the butt, yeah.
You gotta
pay attention to the butt.
You gotta...
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
The innuendo, you gotta wand the butt.
You gotta wand the butt.
Yeah.
All right? That's important.
This entire website's devoted to that.
Lawrence was terminated following the discovery, but Justice Peter Doody has decided that he will hear the case
in
November.
His name is not Doody.
Says it right here in the news report.
So you tell me they didn't want the butt and the guy's name is Doody?
Yep. No, Doody is going to help him out. He's hearing the case.
Oh, Doody's going to help him out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
this is just weird.
There you go. We'll find out later if he actually is convicted.
Oh, man.
Doody is helping butt smuggler.
Doody is doing his duty to prove that the other guy didn't hide the gold in his duty.
Right.
There you go.
All right. How about this? Let's get to our Florida story. We always have an update from Florida.
We like Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, we always have a Florida story, but this week's Florida story is gross.
Okay. More gross than sticking gold pucks up your butt?
Actually, I don't know. It might be. A twisted Florida man is in jail after a gross act at a local Panera Bread.
Oh, not Panera
Bread. I know. Why Panera Bread?
Panera Bread.
Well, you're going to have to be careful now if you go to one in Florida. Cops say that Patrick Bruce, who had been staring at two young women who were studying in the Panera Bread restaurant in Tallahassee, says that...
Oh, boy.
I got it.
This is going to be bad, isn't it?
Said that...
The creamy broccoli soup was even creamier.
Said that he had a styrofoam cup took it into the bathroom with him.
Oh, no.
Came out of the washroom and dumped the remnants onto the women's neck, shoulders, and arms.
I mean, why?
Yeah.
It's like,
no, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
So I want to know, he's sitting there, you know, and like every normal guy is like, oh, that's a pretty girl over there. I quite enjoy taking in her beautiful image, you know? But then he takes that extra step and he takes an extra five steps because in his mind, you know how he can get his attention? You know what always works is by ejaculating into a cup. Was it?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure which
good
what
medical
it was doing.
Term, yeah.
Well, you know, we're clinical here on this podcast. Very clinical.
Yes.
I'm not sure what other terms I can use. So he ejaculated into a cup. He said, you know what'll persuade them to look at me? I'll pour my ejaculate all over them.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! It's like a good salad dressing.
Oh.
They'll appreciate it. It's got protein in it. That was gross.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
He claimed that it was an accident.
No, it wasn't! No! No! It's not... Oh my God, I'm walking over to the bathroom with a styrofoam cup! Oh, where did this erection come from? Oh my God! Oh no! Oh! Well, good thing I have this styrofoam cup! Oh, I'm walking all the way back out into the dining room! Oh no, I'm pouring it over two different people! Not one! Two! That means two people! If they're sitting on opposite ends of the table, he has to pour it on one and then reach across or walk around the table and he has to make sure he saves a little bit for the second girl. You don't want to use it all. You don't want to use it all.
Can't blow your load.
There is no... There is no way this was an accident. There is no way this was an accident. It is impossible. It is impossible. It's impossible. He's wrong.
Well, guess what?
What?
This sick person actually gets caught because he videotaped himself doing the deed in the bathroom.
Oh, my God. Yep. I'm so mad right now. Yep. And I don't understand why I'm so mad. Because he said it was an accident.
Because he's so stupid.
And he videotaped it. Because everybody videotapes.
Everything.
Yeah, especially when you're planning on having an accident.
Yeah, right. When you're, oh, I'm sorry.
I might have an accident. I better get my video. I better get my phone out. Get Snapchat ready.
Yeah.
I might accidentally take a styrofoam cup into the bathroom and jack off and dump it on two girls. Better have my phone ready.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was an accident. I'm sorry.
Just in case.
I'm sorry.
You never know, Rich. You never know. Panera Bread. Things happen. You know, the broccoli cheddar soup is real good. You don't know. Anything could happen.
Cops tracked down the 29-year-old and charged him with indecent exposure, unnatural or lascivious acts, and two counts of battery.
That's the first time I've ever heard unnatural.
Yeah.
Usually it's just lascivious acts.
Yeah, no, this one's unnatural.
Unnatural.
This definitely wasn't an accident.
Because it was an accident. It was unnatural because if he had meant to do it, it would have been a natural lascivious act.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was an accident. Like, yeah. Is that the best you could come up with? They're questioning you, Bob, why did you dump your sperm on top of these two girls? I didn't mean to.
Whoops.
I was planning on taking it home with me.
It happens. You know how it happens, right?
You know. You've been there. And the cop's like, no. I know. I've literally never been there.
Along with 98% of the population has never been there.
Just you, Florida.
Yeah.
Just you.
Right.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
That should be like a slogan. Just you, Florida.
Right.
No one else. Just you.
Good job. All right. So there you go. That takes care of our regular odd news stories. But I have one more left. And I think it's appropriate for our segment. Because we are actually going to go to church in our last segment.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate.
Well, we were both raised Catholic, right?
Yeah.
So we both know about going to church.
Yeah. But
I love the music.
Yeah, I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah.
Because we're going to church in our last story.
Yeah.
But it's actually a church in Harlem.
Okay.
And it's not any church.
I don't think they have quite the same music.
We're going to New York's Atla Worldwide Missionary Church.
Atla?
Atla.
Does that stand for something? Or
yeah.
Is it just Atla?
It's an abbreviation for a proclamation, all the land anointed holy.
What?
I have no idea.
What an awful name.
Yes.
They couldn't come up with something catchier like God is good church? I don't like or like Saint
God is good and
yeah, stuff
and stuff.
God is good and stuff.
God, wait, God is good and stuff. Gigas, gigas,
gigas.
Yeah, gigas church.
Instead of like a gigabyte, it's a gigas.
Yeah. Yeah, God is good and stuff
and stuff.
Gigas, come on down to gigas church.
It's better than Atla, whatever that stand stood for.
Yeah. Well,
yo,
anyway.
This organ player is like really hammering.
He's on fire.
It's just rolling back and forth across the keys. Is anybody actually listening to this?
No.
But, he takes the music away.
Well, it's because, wait, hold on.
Okay.
It's because we have to listen to the sermon. We're in church.
You know what?
Mike, we're in church.
I'm enjoying this already, and all I've heard is organ music and this crazy-ass name of this church.
Yes. All right, we're in church. We're at Atla World Missionary Church.
Okay.
In Harlem. And apparently, at this sermon, the religious preacher warned about gay people and apparently has a specific vision for those that engage in anal sex.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be so bad, isn't it?
Pastor James David Manning, who is a part of the Atla Worldwide Missionary Church, claimed that God will punish those that engage in sodomy in a very painful manner. And for
God is punishing them in a painful manner?
Yes.
Okay.
And for some odd reason, it was recorded, and we have the audio.
Oh, man. I'm so excited for this.
So, I think it's only fitting that we play.
Are we allowed to play this? Is this going to be bad?
No, we can play it.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's a
religious sermon.
Right. It's a what do you call it?
A homily?
Well, not really a homily. It's
a PSA?
A warning.
A warning. Okay.
Yeah, cuz he thinks this is real.
I don't remember the warning part of church.
He thinks that this is he's considering this like a vision. He says this is going to happen.
Okay.
Okay. So, let's start off. This is, what is Manning's prophecy? Let's hear the good pastor. Take it away.
I got a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, and I want you, preacher, to use this word of prophecy ever, whithersoever you go. Every sodomite butthole, everyone that practices sodomy from the day of this message will get cancer in the butthole right there. It'll burn and burn and burn. That way we'll know it's a sodomite because he can't sit down. He can't sit down. He's got a burning in his butthole. He's got a fire. He's got a flame coming out of his butthole. He's got a flame. He's got to have special asbestos diapers. When God gets through with the sodomite, this is the word of the Lord. This is the prophecy of Almighty God. This is the Lord's word. This is the Lord's word. And pastor, if you are a sodomite, God's going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. You're going to need an asbestos diaper. You better go and pray to God. Otherwise, you're going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. Preacher, you won't be able to sit down. If you thought that AIDS was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet until you see the flaming butthole. And that way we'll know who is a sodomite undercover. The Lord sent me. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm James David Manning. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant.
Okay.
No. No, that's not just happen.
Yes,
how many times did he say flaming butthole?
A lot.
A lot.
And so, yes.
So,
his main claim in his vision is that those that engage in sodomy will have, quote, flaming buttholes
right
from
there.
God. From God.
I love how he says, right there. You're going to have, what do you say, butt cancer right there.
All right.
Flaming. Oh,
so,
man.
Let's move on to the next part of this. So I want to ask.
Wait, what?
I want to ask.
The next part.
Yes. Because, you know, it's one thing. Maybe things got lost in translation. So
maybe he meant a more metaphorical flame in the butthole.
Exactly.
Metaphorical butt cancer.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Pastor James David Manning, I'm going to give you a second chance here in your homily. How exactly do you think this will happen? Was this metaphorically? Let's listen in on the actual details.
You ain't seen nothing yet, and there'll be people walking around all over America with flames coming out of their butthole. Every sodomite, everyone who takes it up the rear, everyone who has a penis injected in his butthole will have a flame. When that penis comes out, the flame will start burning, and there'll be no more sodomy, because ain't nobody going to stick no penis in that flame. You ain't going to stick a penis in that flame. That flame will be an eternal flame cutting out of the butthole of every sodomite. Well, if you don't ask God to hear you, the next time you get poked in the butt, a flame, when that man pulls that penis out of you, a flame is going to come out. It'll be an eternal flame that will not be able to put it out. You will not be able to get in the bathtub and put it out. You will not be able to get in the toilet and put it out. You will not be able to wash it out. You'll need an asbestos diaper in order to be able to stop that flame. And nobody will ever stick a penis in your butthole again, because it will be on fire. It'll be flames of fire. You think AIDS was bad. You ain't seen nothing.
Fire! This is going to be fire! So he means literal.
Yes.
Literal. Like, you know, I don't even know where to begin with this. And he seems to be really, really
fascinated,
really keying in on injecting the penis into the butt. He's put a lot of thought into it.
We're very clinical here on the podcast.
He's put a lot of thought. You put the penis into the rectum or the anus. He was like really, really homed in on that one aspect.
Yeah, he's very, very particular.
And when you pull the penis out, that's when you open the gates of hell, and which is the butthole, and the fire shoots out of it like a flamethrower.
Flaming butthole.
So what you can do is you can enlist in the military and point that towards the enemy. And you're a human flame. It's the human torch.
You're going to become the human torch.
That's how the human torch was created.
Well, wait, but besides the human torch, James David Manning,
yeah,
has another way that he,
oh my God,
another way to relate as to what this will look like when
I
this
think
prophecy,
I have a pretty good picture
when this prophecy comes true. So what else can we expect this to look like, James David Manning?
You're going to think you're going to be in the midst of the swamps of South Carolina and what they call the lightning bug. I don't know if you've ever seen the lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. And everywhere you look, they light up the swamps. They light up the woods. They light up the rural areas of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama. They light it all up down in New Orleans. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt. The lightning bug.
So he says it's going to be like a lightning bug.
I don't understand. So people that have butt sex are going to be lightning bugs?
Yes, I guess, in a way.
Is that... I don't know what point he's trying to make.
Well, it won't be too many.
What is going on? Oh.
And I'll give Manning the last word on his amazing sermon here.
Okay.
Take it away.
Well, it won't be too many days now when Almighty God wishes to exalt the preaching that I've done, James David Manning, that you're going to see on a Saturday night. All of a sudden, Harlem's going to be lit up. Anybody that goes along, anybody that sympathizes, anybody that supports, anybody that prays for, will have a flame coming out of their butt. You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You're talking about being hot. Well, you sure enough going to be hot. You're going to have a flame shooting out of your vagina. And you're going to need asbestos panties to stop that flame. I'm the Lord, sir. I'm James David Manning. Destroy the sodomites, or God will destroy you. Hallelujah. And amen. And amen. And amen.
And amen.
And amen.
Does he own an asbestos company?
Yeah.
He's trying to offload excess asbestos. Yeah.
Does he own the company here in Ambler? Your asbestos company?
We used to make asbestos here in Ambler.
Yeah, you might be...
I think he was a shareholder.
Yeah.
Oh, the organ music is back.
So...
So let's recap.
Yeah, let's recap.
You put the penis in the butt. Flames.
Flames.
If you support people that put the penis in the butt, also flames.
Yes.
But... you can also be a lightning bug. So, I mean, it's, you know, you got to weigh the pros and cons. You're going to have a flaming butt, but you're a lightning bug.
Yeah.
So.
And you have at least till Saturday night.
is that when it happens?
Yeah, he said specifically it's going to be on a Saturday night.
Well.
So if you make it through a Saturday night, you got another week.
There you go. It's going to happen. This Saturday, people, look out. If you see people with flames shooting out their ass, you know.
It's Manning's prophecy.
Manning's prophecy.
It came true. Praise be. Praise be.
Praise be.
Just for the record, Manning claims to hold a doctor of philosophy,
but
it's actually from his own theological seminary that he invented.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Which does not have any educational accreditation.
What? You mean it wasn't nationally accredited?
No, unfortunately it wasn't.
Oh, that's a shocker.
Yeah.
You mean the Manning University? What was his name?
James David Manning.
James David Manning University didn't pass accreditation?
No, sorry.
Oh. Can I do that? Can I give myself a doctorate?
Yeah, from the Costanza University.
I have a doctorate from Costanza University.
The Crispy Noodle University.
In BS.
There you go.
A doctorate in BS.
I have a doctorate, too.
Yeah.
Reporting the odd news, because I swear to God.
Doctorate in the odd news.
I swear to God, it just... Oh, I'm church. I probably shouldn't swear to God, but whatever. it just keeps getting weirder and weirder.
It does.
Without fail.
I'm literally at a loss for words, because I think Manning said all of them. I think he said every word imaginable. And half of them were just flaming butt.
Yeah. He was obsessed with it.
He was really obsessed. I think he's a butt man.
I think so. And
it's just... But the X... It is so weird. It's like it's from the X-Files, damn it.
It is.
Did you mean to push that?
No. And I think that pretty much sums up everything in this odd news.
It's oddly fitting.
Right.
Because he's like from a different planet.
It is.
He said... penis and butthole an alarming amount of times for a priest.
Yeah, let me tell you,
I've been to a lot of church when I was a younger boy, and I think I would have remembered if the priest had said penis or butthole. And he said it about 40 times.
Well, there you go, folks. That's what I have for you
this week.
Also,
why was he dreaming about penises being injected into buttholes?
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, people. This was a vision he had.
Right.
Is this a vision he had in the bathroom of a Panera Bread?
Okay, on that note, let's move on.
I'm saying maybe he's a lightning bug.
He might be.
He might be. That's going to be like a euphemism now.
Yeah.
Lightning bug.
Lightning bug. I still don't understand what half that meant. He was just all over the place.
There you go, folks. That's the odd news for this week. Let's move on. I think we already know what the first thing's going to be in this segment. What have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
Yeah, Mike, what have you learned? You already know.
This Saturday, there's going to be a lot of flaming butts out there.
Yeah,
look
Saturday.
Out. Look out. A lot of flames shooting out of a lot of butts. But also a lot of lightning bugs. I don't know what to make of this James David Manning person. He scares me, honestly, a little bit. But that's why we don't go to the Atla Church. We go to the Gigass.
Yeah,
the God
right
is
one.
Good and Stuff Church.
That's the good one.
Yeah, God
Stick
is good
to that
stuff.
One.
Yeah, they don't have any flaming butts or lightning bug weird sermons there with crazy people. What a lunatic. Oh, my gosh. And wildly offensive, too. Let's keep that in mind as well. I can't believe some of the things he said. But one thing is for certain, he definitely didn't say those things by accident. But you know what you can do accidentally?
Oh, no.
You can accidentally take the styrofoam cup into a bathroom, ejaculate into it, and then accidentally take it out of the bathroom.
Oh, and video record it.
And accidentally video record it and accidentally dump it on two people. That is very easy to accidentally do. I didn't realize you could accidentally do that. But now that I know, it completely changes my plans for this weekend.
Okay.
I kid.
We're a comedy podcast.
We're a comedy podcast. Oh, my God. The NSA is coming. We also learned about Florida's new slogan, Just You, Florida.
Just you.
Just you. Whenever something weird happens, just... No, Florida. Not us. Just you.
Perfect.
Just you, Florida. We also learned that squirrels make... they're a more popular food than I thought.
Yeah.
It's like its own category in the food pyramid.
It's the craze. It's sweeping the nation.
Sweeping the nation. Squirrel. You know, they had the what do you call it? The Atkins diet, South Beach diet, the squirrel diet.
The Arkansas diet.
The Arkansas diet. A lot of squirrel. It's a lean meat, Rich. It's a lean meat.
Lose weight.
That's important.
Lose weight with the squirrel diet, gain it back with your beer.
That's right. Exactly. That's a little weird, but you know what isn't weird? And I found this out. It's not weird to have 16 fingers.
That's perfectly
fine. Rich, 16 fingers is normal. 8 on each hand, like God intended. Your flaming butthole, your 8 fingers on each hand. It's good. It's all good. But God forbid if you have an uneven number of toes.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird. That's weird. I love this future we're creating, which is people just flying around with flaming buttholes and like 8 fingers on each hand. It's amazing.
Go ahead.
Most importantly, I learned that geese. They're bastards.
There you go.
I mean, I already knew that, but Rich knows that.
I didn't
know
that, but now I do.
We learned that each person has their cross to bear.
And that's right.
Some are shaped like geese.
Amen.
Some are shaped like crackheads.
And amen.
Amen.
Thank you. That's what we've
learned.
Get
your
this
asbestos
episode.
Diapers.
That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Little Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I can talk anymore.
My voice is like hoarse from laughing and shouting so much. Because that last story was just off the rails, bat crap insane.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. The odd news.
Can't believe these people exist.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can believe they exist, but I'm always shocked that
it always keeps getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
But folks, that's nature of the odd news, and that's how we run things here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on our show, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, interviews, and a whole bunch more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday morning. You can listen to us at home, on the go, or at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show condensed into a 1 to 2 minute quick clip that you can listen to on the go and share with friends and family the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also reach us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitter.
That's
and,
right. Hashtag flaming buttholes.
Yeah. If that happens on Saturday
night. If
that
happens.
Let us
I'm
know.
I'm going to be looking out Saturday night. I'm going to see like how many flaming buttholes are there out there. Who's wearing asbestos diapers?
Who's buying asbestos diapers?
You know what? Everybody should buy stock in asbestos diapers. I'm telling you. Because according to this priest's vision, everybody's just going to be lightning bugs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's nuts.
The
insanity keeps growing.
It grows exponentially.
It never stops.
It grows exponentially.
Thank you, all you crazy people that provide us news for the odd news.
We love you.
But this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and morning news. That'll do it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.